To share with you a message that God has laid on my heart entitled The Secret Place of the Most High. The Secret Place of the Most High. Verse 1, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Oh, hallelujah. Ah, Rabashila Pasataya. Hallelujah. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder and the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him and set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the anointing that is in this house right now. Lord, I ask you to help us to receive the wisdom of this word today. Lord, this word is not given to us just for admiration. It's given to us for application. I thank you today, God, for the power of your Spirit that is being released right now through this word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. He that dwells. You know, if you read the Bible, you understand when the Bible says He, it means she. God is no respecter of person. And as far as God is concerned, we're spirit beings. And so He's speaking about mankind. He's speaking about you as a person dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What I want you to notice this morning is this. Every blessing that is going to follow in this 91st Psalm. And let me say to you that I believe that in these days that we're living in, we need to learn how to live in Psalms 91. Yes. Psalms 91 needs to be a hiding place for us. We need to spend time reading this psalm and getting these promises and these provisions and these blessings in our spirit, because we're going to need them today and in the days to come. But I want you to notice that every blessing that is going to follow only belongs to a certain people. It's not everybody. It's a certain person. It's a certain individual. It's the person that dwells. It's the person, the woman, the man that dwells in the secret place. Not the one that thinks about it, not the one that talks about it, not the one that attends church, not the one that is religious, but the one that dwells. Everybody say, I'm a dweller.
I'm a dweller.
Hallelujah. There's more to it than just attending church. You must must be a dweller in the secret place of the Most High. And the word dwell means to make one's home there, to live in there, to inhabit, and to stay there, to abide. Oh, hallelujah. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, Rasatayahaya. I want you to just lift your hands right now. I just feel an overshadowing of the Holy Spirit in this house today. I feel an overshadowing. Lord, I thank you for that overshadowing of your presence and your glory today. Hallelujah. The secret place. You know, I used to think when I read the scripture, and as I began to grow up, I began to think that the secret place means the place where I go and get alone with God. I'm going to go to my secret place. You tell your husband or your wife, you say, you're going to have to excuse me for a while. I need to get in my secret place. I need to get in my closet. I need to get alone with God. But I'm going to tell you something. I got a revelation of the scripture. I got a revelation from the Spirit that the secret place is not really a physical location. Because if the secret place was a physical location, every time I left my physical location, I would be in danger because I would be out of my secret place. Because the promises only come to the one that lives in the secret place. Is anybody with me? He that abides, he that dwells in the secret place. So I used to think, because Jesus says, when you pray, enter into your closet and pray to your Father which seeth in secret, and he'll reward you openly. But let me help you to understand from the scripture today that there is something deeper than that. There is something that's more important to us than even your prayer closet, because the secret place actually means the presence of God. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody lift your hands and praise him right now. And thank him for his word. I'm going to give you some revelation today. Ask him to prepare your heart to receive this revelation today. Hallelujah. 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 Psalms 27 and 5 says, "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me." That doesn't mean anything to you if you don't understand what a pavilion is. That doesn't mean anything to you if you don't understand that. You have to recognize that a pavilion, number one, is not a fortress. A pavilion is a place that is a covered place, but you can see out. It's a covered place, but you can see out. He said, "I'm going to put you in a covered place and a protected place, and you'll be able to see out." Oh, hallelujah. But the enemy won't be able to get in. Glory to God. He double shot. Only with your eyes will you be able to behold the reward of the wicked, but it will not come near your dwelling. So listen, he says, "I will hide him in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me." Watch this. Psalm 31 and 20. "Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence." Oh, hallelujah. You will hide them in the secret of your presence from the pride of man. In Job 29 and 4, Job said this, "As I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle." The secret of God is the presence of God. The secret, if I say the secret, look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, I've got a secret." And the secret is not a place. It's a person. Oh, hallelujah. What a little shy. Let me make it even plainer. The secret of God is the presence of God. The secret of God is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Job is speaking about the Holy Spirit. He says, "The secret of God is upon my tabernacle. The secret of God is the Holy Spirit." Jesus shares this wonderful secret with his disciples. You find it in John 14. 15 and 17. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father. He will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever." Who's that? Who's that comforter? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. He's the comforter. even the Spirit of truth, whom the world, watch this, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. What's that mean? That means he's a secret. Oh, hallelujah. He is a secret. The world can't know him. The world can't receive him. The world can't enter into him. You can't receive this secret. You can't live in this secret. You can't experience this secret unless you come through the blood. Hallelujah. You got to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's not just about being better and doing good and quitting all the bad stuff and start doing good stuff. It's about being regenerated. It's about being transformed. It's about the old man passing away and a new man coming into being. It's about being born again. It's about being washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. And when you've been washed in his blood, then the secret of God can rest upon your tabernacle and you can dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Hallelujah. My dad used to tell me, I was growing up, he said to me, he said, son, I got a secret. I said, you do? He said, yeah. He said, I got a secret place. I said, you do? He said, yeah. I said, well, tell me about it. He said, I can't. He said, it wouldn't be a secret. And I'm going to tell you something. That got in me. And I started wanting to know, if he's really got a secret place, what is this secret place? Because he wasn't talking about a closet. He wasn't talking about a place that he would go and pray and be alone with God. He wasn't talking about that. Those are wonderful. Those are necessary. Those are needful. But he wasn't talking about that. He was talking about a realm. He was talking about a dimension in the presence of God. But when he said that to me, it started getting to me. It started stirring me up. I started thinking, now God, why would you give him a secret and not give it to me? Why would you give him access into that secret place and I not have it? And why would you tell him what that secret was and I didn't know it? But you know what? I've come to understand something. Sometimes we know something, but we don't know it. Yeah. Maybe you may not understand what I'm saying, but sometimes we experience something in the spirit and we don't know what we're experiencing. And if you don't know what you're experiencing, you don't really know how to tell somebody else what you're experiencing.
Yeah, sure.
I may get shocked by electricity and never have handled electricity before. And when I got shocked, I know I got shocked, but I don't know what shocked me. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There are many times that God touches people that have never been in church before. They come to a service, power of God touches them, knocks them out, lays them out on the floor. They lay there for 3 or 4 hours, don't even know whatever happened to them. Don't even know because they have no experience. Well, there are many that have experienced God, but they didn't get the revelation of what they experienced. And so I went on a hunt. I went on a safari to find out about this secret place, and I found out that this secret place is available to every born-again child of God. I found out this secret place is available to every spirit-led and every blood-washed child of God. And I found out this secret place is not just my closet, it's a person. It's the presence of God. And that presence of God is the Holy Spirit. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. When you say, I feel his presence, you're saying the Holy Spirit is manifesting the presence of God. Job says, in my youth, he said, the secret of God was on my tabernacle. The Spirit of God was resting on me. The anointing, the presence, the person, the Holy Spirit is the secret place, the presence of God. So he says, the world cannot receive him. They can't see him. They don't understand him. They don't know him. He's a secret. But ye know him, Jesus says. Glory to God. You know him. Oh, the secret place. The secret is not a secret anymore. The secret is out. Hallelujah. The secret is a person. Jesus says, you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Glory to God. I've got multiple messages that I could preach today, but I'm being constrained and compelled of the Holy Spirit to bring you this word because the Holy Spirit is witnessing to me that we are entering a very tumultuous time compared to an F5 tornado. Truth is under attack. Everything that is godly, holy, pure and virtuous is being twisted and being perverted. The gospel is under attack. Anyone who preaches and teaches and loves the truth is going to be persecuted. The pressure is not going to let up. It's not going to ease off. It's going to get stronger. It's going to get stronger. It's going to become more wicked and more wicked and more perverse. And I feel like we're getting one last warning before the big one hits. And I don't really know what that really means, except this: God is calling his people to their safe place. And when I say to their safe place, I'm talking about the secret place. And I'm not talking about tucking tail and running from the devil and letting the devil have his way. On the contrary, I'm talking about living from the secret place of the presence of God, living from that place of intimate communion and fellowship with God, where we are clothed with his anointing, where we're clothed with his power, where we can fight effectively and we can demonstrate that Satan is defeated and Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Come on and clap your hands and give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. What we need to do like never before is we need to say, Holy Spirit, lead me to the secret place. I want to learn to live and abide and dwell in the secret place. I'm not talking about throwing up our hands and sneaking off into oblivion with our heads down, kicking the dirt, talking about how bad the devil is. I'm not talking about living. I am talking about living so close to Jesus that when the devil looks at you, he sees Jesus. And when he hears you talking, he hears Jesus talking. And when he sees you walking, he sees Jesus walking. That's what I'm talking about. But my concern is today that if we don't get into our secret place, if you don't get into your secret place, the storm is going to destroy your life. I shared in our Sunday school lesson this morning how Steve Hill, man of God, tremendous man of God, before he died, God gave him an open vision of the avalanche of false doctrines and false teaching that was coming on the church world. And he saw multitudes of people, Christians, that were buried under this avalanche of demonic deception. And many of them could not be reached in time, and they died because they did not listen to the warnings. And there's another reason today that I feel compelled of the Holy Spirit, not just because of the deception and not because of the destruction that that deception brings, but I feel compelled to tell you to run to your secret place because God is getting ready to administer some judgment. If you think God is okay with what's happening in the world and happening in his church, we're wrong. I'm telling you, friend, many churches today are no different than nightclubs. And their agenda is no longer to rescue souls, but to fill seats and fill their pockets with money. And God is going to deal with it. In Isaiah 26 and 20, the Holy Spirit gives this word: Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors upon thee. He's not talking about running to a storm shelter downtown and avoiding a tidal wave or a tsunami. He's talking about getting in the secret place. He's talking about entering into the hiding place. He's talking about getting into the presence of God. He's talking about entering into an intimacy with the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit will protect you, and the Holy Spirit will preserve you, and the Holy Spirit will equip us, and he will arm us to effectively war against this spirit that's coming against the church today. If you don't get into the secret place, you're not going to make it. This is the alarm that the Holy Spirit is sounding. He's crying, come my people, enter into the secret place, because my indignation and my wrath is getting ready to be poured out. Psalms 91 and 2. David said, I will say of the Lord. I'm going to try to get through this today and cover as much as I can, because I believe that this is a word God is wanting to teach us to live in. It's not a word for admiration. It's a word for application. David says in Psalms 91 and 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Notice, he said, I will say something. I will say something. You've got to say something. You've got to say who God is to you. You've got to say what you believe God is. You've got to say who you believe God is. You got to say he's my healer. You got to say he's my keeper. You got to say he's my refuge. You got to say, you got to open your mouth and say something. Jesus said in the book of Matthew or Mark chapter 11, he said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. He didn't say whosoever shall think. Whosoever shall say unto the mountain. You've got to say, look at your neighbor and tell him, neighbor, you have to say something.
You have to say something.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Death and life are in the
you have to say something. Psalms 91 and 3, he says, surely he shall deliver you. Notice all of these promises are to the one that dwells in the secret place. He shall deliver you, the secret place dweller, from the snare of the fowler. In other words, from the hidden things, from the things that you can't see that the devil has set for you. And believe me, the devil has some traps set for you. Believe me, the devil has some traps set for you. But if you'll dwell in the secret place, God will go ahead of you and he will snap those traps before you get there. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And you won't be caught in one of his snares and one of his traps. Hallelujah. He says, he'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence. That word noisome pestilence means the fatal pestilence. The pestilence or the plague that spreads death in its march. That is, God can prevent its coming upon you. He can save you from its ravages while others are dying all around you. Let me give you an example. The children of Israel were preserved by God from the plagues that came upon Egypt. Let me give you a modern day example. There was a man named John G. Lake and the head of bubonic plague in Africa. And he went in because nobody wanted to volunteer to take dead bodies out because of the plague, because it's very contagious. And so he went in there, and all the other men went in hazmat suits and all these things. He just went in there, him and another brother, and they just went in there and started tearing out dead bodies and stacking them up and going into places where nobody else wanted to go. Finally, some of these people that were involved with the care of these individuals and taking care of these dead bodies and helping to get rid of this plague. And finally, they said to him, they said, what is your secret? How can you do this? You must have some kind of antidote or something that's protecting you from this. He said, I'll tell you what it is. It's the life of Christ in me. He said, that germ of death can't get in me because I'm filled with the life of Christ. Hallelujah. They couldn't believe that. They couldn't believe that. They said, we don't believe it. He said, well, let's put it to the test. He said, let's take some of that germ that is coming out of their mouth, that germ that is filled with that bacteria that is contagious and it will kill and it will go into your skin. And he says, it's alive and you know it is. And they said, yes, we know. He said, put it on my hand. That's crazy. He said, put it on my hand. They said, that's like committing suicide. He said, put it on my hand. And they put it on his hand. He said, now put it under a microscope. This is documented. Put it under a microscope. And while they're watching it, that germ died in his hand. Hallelujah. I'm talking about living in the secret place of the Most High. I'm talking about being filled with the life of God. I'm talking about God being able to keep you from the noisome pestilence. I don't care if it's bird flu or swine flu or Hong Kong flu. I don't care if it's whatever it is. He can keep you if you learn how to live in the secret place of the Most High.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, I don't know about you. That makes me want to get there in a hurry.
Amen.
Makes me want to stay there. He shall cover you, he says in verse 4. He shall cover you with his feathers. I like to think about these pages of his word being his feathers.
Amen.
And he's sitting under his wings.
Yes.
Under his wings. His feathers represent his promises, and his wings represents the opening of the Bible, his pages. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. His truth is his word. His feathers, his promises, his wings representing the pages of the Bible. He said in Psalms 91 and 5, you shall not be afraid for the terror by night. Not be afraid for the terror by night. How many people live in dread and fear by night of something happening by night? He said, you will not be afraid of what you can't see in the night. Oh, hallelujah. And then he said, you won't be afraid of the arrow that flies by day. Hallelujah. In other words, it's not going to, you don't have to worry about what you can't see. And you don't have to worry about what you can see. Because if you learn, woo, hallelujah. If you learn how to live in the secret place, if you learn how to live in the secret place of the Most High, I will deliver you. And you won't have to fear. Multitudes of God's people are living in fear today of the terror by night and the arrow that flies by day. God says, I'll deliver you. You don't have to be afraid. Then he says in verse 6, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that waits at noonday. This is one of the greatest provisions that God has made to us that live in the secret place. You do not live in fear. We don't fear what we can see, and we don't fear what we can't see. Look at Psalms 91 and 7. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Why? Verse 9 says, because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge. This is the person. You have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High. You have made him your dwelling place. You have made him your habitation. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 10, he says, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. Here God makes it clear that all around us people may be falling and failing, suffering from the hand of the enemy, but it cannot come into the secret place. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Somebody say, thank God for the secret place. Woo! Glory to God. Now watch this. In verse 11, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Listen, friend, how wonderful to know that angels are on assignment. Hallelujah. Whether you see them, whether you feel them, or whether you don't, God has given them an assignment for those who live in the secret place. He has put the angels in charge of your safety. Hallelujah. Those who abide in the secret place, living in the presence of God in obedience, in commitment, in faithfulness to God, God has assigned angels to you. Hallelujah. He says they will even intervene to keep you from dashing your foot against a stone. In other words, this could translate into saving you from a car wreck, saving you from going off a cliff, or saving you from being attacked or being shot. I don't know about you, but I just think we need to thank God for his angels that are on assignment. Angels that are working 24-7 to keep you and to protect you, to keep you from dashing your foot against the stone. Oh, God, I thank you for your angels. I don't know what all you've protected me from, God, but I thank you for your angels. Hallelujah! I believe in the days ahead, we're going to become more aware of angels. We'll become more aware of angelic assistance. We'll become more aware of angelic intervention. The Bible says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, because thereby many have entertained angels unawares. Hallelujah. Sometimes, you know, I think we begin to think that God is limited in the day we live in. And we forget that anything he did in the Bible, he's just as likely to do today. Hallelujah. He's as likely to show up in angels. You know, the Bible says that Peter was thrown into prison. And while he was in prison, the people were praying. And the Bible says that the angel of the Lord came and delivered him from the prison. Hallelujah. And Peter came and started knocking on the door. And when Peter started knocking on the door, Rhoda heard his voice, ran back to tell the prayer meeting. Said, Peter's here. He's out of prison. Hallelujah. God's heard our prayer. And you know what they said? They said, that's not Peter. They said, that's his angel. Hallelujah. What does that mean? That means they were used to angels. That means they were more expecting an angel to show up than they were Peter. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we need to start expecting angelic intervention, angelic assistance, angelic ministration. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible says the angels are his ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Hallelujah. Angels minister. Do you know angels minister? You know that I may speak to somebody and say, God's touching you right now. While I'm pointing at my hand, reaching back to point at somebody, an angel will be standing right beside you administering that healing. Angels. They're on assignment. They're on assignment. They accompany us. You say, really? You think they accompany us? Well, they have to accompany us. They keep charge over us. That's what he said. He said to them that dwell in the secret place of the Most High, he said, I put my angels on assignment to watch over you, keep charge over you. They got to be watching me all the time. Some of us, they got to be watching more and more than others. But... you get your angels on overtime. How wonderful to know that we have angels on assignment guarding our life. The Bible said the angels of the Lord encamp round about those that love him, fear him, and keep his commandments. Verse 13, you shall tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shall you trample under feet. Look at this now. You see now, this is not talking about running and hiding. This is not talking about running into a dark corner, wringing our hands, and hiding out from the devil. When he says dwelling in the secret place, he's talking about from the secret place, you will walk with power and authority you could have never received any other way, and you will tread down and trample down every demonic activity and power. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the difference the secret place makes in your life. Verse 14, because he has set his love on me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Now the Holy Spirit comes to the heart of the matter. It's all about love. It's about a heart that follows hard after God. It's about a heart that can't be and refuses to be satisfied with anything less than a deep, personal, intimate relationship with God. Because he has set his love on me. He has known my name. Can you lift your hands for just a minute and set your love on him? For just a moment, would you just lift your hands and set your love on him? Jesus, I love you. I set my affection on things above. I set my love on you. I worship you. Hallelujah. He shall call upon me. These are the lovers he's talking about, the secret place dwellers. She shall call on me. She shall call on me. He shall call on me. I will answer them. I'll be with them in trouble. I will deliver them and honor them. Now watch. I'm trying to close. I wanted to get through this. To these lovers, to these secret place dwellers, he says, when they call on me, I will answer them. I'll be with them in trouble. I will deliver them. I will honor them. I asked myself the question. I said, Lord, I read this. I said, Lord, what do you mean you will honor them? And here's what the Holy Spirit said to me. He honors you by being with you. He honors you by backing up what you say. He honors you by manifesting his power through you, by using you to bring blessings and healing and deliverance and miracles to others in his name. He honors you by anointing you and covering you with his presence and his glory. He wants to honor you. Finally, our last verse 16, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. God says, I will satisfy him or her with long life. Now let me finish this. Multitudes of people today live long lives, but they're not satisfied. He didn't say, I'll simply give them long life. He said, I will satisfy them. Multitudes are living long lives, but they're never satisfied, always reaching for something more, something else, more cars, more land, more sex, more pleasure, more power, more recognition. But there's only one thing that can satisfy, and that's Jesus. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul, Rashiach. Because when you have Jesus, you can be satisfied in the deep bushes of Africa, in a grass hut with a dirt floor. Or when you have Jesus, you can be satisfied in a luxury penthouse with a jet and a personal chauffeur. It doesn't matter either way, because it's not the things and it's not the absence of things that satisfy us. It's Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. He says, I will give you long life and I will make it a satisfied life. I will make it a fulfilled life. It doesn't matter if you've got a lot of money. Money is not the key to happiness. Jesus is the key to happiness. It's a relationship with God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Can you lift your hands and just praise him if you know today that Jesus satisfies every longing. If you know today that Jesus meets every need of your life. If you know today that Jesus is the answer to every longing of your soul and every craving of your heart. Hallelujah. 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 Millionaires and billionaires commit suicide. Movie stars, who's who's, commit suicide. And nobodies, nobody even knows their name, commit suicide. Because it's not things to satisfy. It's a person. It's Jesus. The precious Holy Spirit makes Jesus real in our lives. You can't even know Jesus without the Holy Spirit. The Bible says no man can call him Lord except by the Spirit. The Bible says the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Yeah. Would you stand? I ask the Lord God, what are you saying today? What is the word of the Lord today? He said, I want you to invite my people into the secret of my presence. In the secret of my presence, he said, I'll protect them. I'll heal them. I'll deliver them. I'll fight for them. I'll send angels to watch over them. I'll immunize them against diseases.
Thank you, Lord.
And plagues.
Thank you, Lord.
I'll put a separation between them and my judgment. And only with their eyes will they behold the reward of the wicked. How many today in this house will say, Lord, that's what I want. I want this secret. I want to live in the secret of your presence. I want to abide in the secret of your presence. I wonder how many times we're guilty of inviting the Lord's presence into our lives. Just as we invite a friend into our home, have them seated in the living room, and then we move to the rest of the house, taking care of legitimate business, acting as though he's not even there. I wonder, how many times through the day do you say, Lord, I love you. Holy Spirit, I love you. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for protecting me. Thank you for your anointing. Sister Louise, would you come? Our
Sister Louise, play for us this morning. Come on, Sister Louise, you come on and play for me. I just need you to play something behind me. Just play something soft. And I want Brother Herman to come this morning. And I want Brother George to come, please, if you would. Brother Herman and Brother George. I want Brother Herman to come because Brother Herman needs a miracle. And I want Brother George to come because Brother George has got a miracle. When you got something, you can give it away. I want those of you that will to come and join around us, and I want those of you that can't get up here just to stretch your hands this way. We believe that our God is a miracle-working God. We expect miracles to happen in His name. But George has received a miracle. Hallelujah. Brother Herman needs a miracle. I want you to stretch your hands this way right now and pray with me in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus. God, I command this body to normalize. I command fluid, Lord, to dry up. I command, Lord, your healing virtue to flow through his body, Lord, from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord. This heaviness, Lord, this weightiness, God, this constriction, Lord, that is trying to choke the life out of him. Lord, we choke the life out of it today. In the name of God, we thank you for a miracle right now, right now, right now, right now. Thank you.
Israel has. And we need to pray for him and rebuke. He's been having ringing in his ears, and it's tormenting him, and that has to that has to go. So,
Brother Frank, how much you need in it?
Dark clouds will have to go.
lift your hands and worship Him for just a moment. Lord, we just love You today. Oh, Siramando Kekeru, Siramandiru Shai. Lord, we love You so much, Lord. We praise You for Your presence, Lord. We thank You for the overshadowing of Your presence, Lord. You said that You would overshadow us, Lord. We would dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. We would abide under Your shadow, Lord. We thank You, Lord, as we leave this place, Father. Go with each one, Lord. Give angels charge over them according to Your word. Keep them in all their ways, Lord Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus upon every individual, God. I thank You, Lord, that as we go, Lord, we walk in divine health. As we go, we walk in strength. As we go, Lord, we are made strong and we are made whole in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you. Hallelujah.